Hello. Today I want to give you a sort of my take and a primer on thyroid. And if you suspect that something is off with your weight, with your constipation, with your energy, with hair loss, and you're not getting better with the dietary change and exercise, it may be thyroid related. I'm a clinical functional nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor. But for some odd reason, the necessity, the necessity is mother of invention. I had to step in and provide support for my patients because I end up being the one that brings the thyroid issue to the table, and I end up asking my patients to go get retested properly. They do. And lo and behold, we find quite a lot of numbers of cases of hypothyroidism and even more Hashimoto or Hashimoto's. Thyroiditis. So I want you to know a little bit more about how to go about finding what's happening in your health and how to have a conversation with your doctor in what's actually relevant, and why I'm doing this audio. The reason I'm doing this audio is because it's so frustrating to me that patients are not getting properly tested. If I had my way in standard medical care right now, here's what would happen. Every female patient would be screened in her annual physical for all the thyroid markers, including at least two antibodies for Hashimoto's. And I'll explain why. Hashimoto's is not hypothyroid by itself. Hypothyroidism means that your thyroid slows down. It doesn't produce enough of the hormone to provide the energy, the metabolism that you need for proper functions. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition, which means that it's not a deficiency of particular thyroid hormone. It's more of a false alarm, wrong communication, cell-to-cell communication when your immune system is raging a war, except against your own, except instead of attacking your invader, whether it's a parasite or a bacterium, it's actually attacking your thyroid. I'm going to discuss that a little bit further. So there's a big difference between low thyroid function and Hashimoto's, although the symptoms may be matched. So because you have damage to your thyroid is being destroyed by your own immune system, you're losing the tissue, and so you're losing the hormones. So yes, symptoms may look like hypothyroidism, and typically it may be misdiagnosed. And so if you are misdiagnosed, you may be working with Hashimoto's. You have continual insult of the immune system damaging your thyroid, so you continue losing the thyroid function, but you just medicate it as if you had low thyroid function. So we have to stop the immune response. It's a big difference. Now, if you look at statistics, there are claims that 4.6% of U.S. population may have hypothyroidism. There's other claims that 20 to 27 million Americans have thyroid-related illness, and 12% of U.S. population will develop thyroid disease in their lifetime. But up to 60% of those with thyroid disease are not even aware that they have it. And unfortunately, we do have an epidemic, and I see it in the clinic. And that, just like I told you, I would really insist that if you're a female, especially middle age, you should definitely have it just tested and screened. Now, the problem that I see is, according to STAI, and this is a study from 2010, prevalence of Hashimoto's in the population with hypothyroidism accounts for as much as 90 to 97%. What does that mean? And this is about 1 to 24% of population. That's huge. So what it means is that most of the cases of hypothyroidism or suspected hypothyroidism may in fact be Hashimoto's. So it is immune driven. So it's an autoimmune disorder, and we have to treat it as such, not just with medication to increase thyroid. We have to stop the insult and stop the damage. Now that's pretty remarkable. And so what happens is, the American Thyroid Association, the last I checked on their website, they say that, you know, the causes of thyroid problems are, quote, largely unknown. That's really, and the only treatment options that they suggest on their website is, of course, what typically is standard care in medical practice, synthetic T4 in the form of Synthroid, for example. And not surprisingly, in the first quarter of 2015, last I checked, Synthroid was number one prescription medication, according to Brown. So it's interesting how it goes. There's a lot of reasons why thyroid may be impaired. Let me give you a couple of ideas, just to give you a sense. These are not all inclusive. I will be writing a paper on it and posting it on the website too eventually for you, so it's going to be more detailed. But think about it. Your hypothyroidism may be induced by low iodine. Iodine is needed for the particular T3 or T4 hormones to run the thyroid properly. You may not have enough selenium, and selenium is soil quality dependent. We don't have predictable amounts of selenium because of the how the produce is cultivated and how the soil is depleted. You may have a lot of exposure to chlorine or fluoride in your drinking water, in your shower water. That's a whole different story. And these compete with iodine, especially if iodine is already deficient. Bromine is another halogen from the same group as iodine, fluoride, and chlorine. And that used to be added to bread making, and you had a little bit... the iodine used to be added to the bread making. Now it's replaced by bromide. And what happens is that that's another halogen that will compete with iodine. And in that case, it can make iodine-driven hypothyroidism even worse. Estrogens or contraceptives, these can affect thyroid. Estrogen will be related to, I call them xenoestrogens. These come from pesticides, herbicides. They mimic your estrogens, but they have a very strong strong activity. It can disrupt the cells. So there's many, many levels of factors that can affect thyroid and slow down the function of it. However, in terms of Hashimoto's, it goes a little bit deeper. Well, before I go into Hashimoto, there's one more story I want to tell you. When you are under chronic sustained stress, there's also things that are happening in thyroid to prevent you from burning out, so to speak. So instead of creating the active T3 for your thyroid functions, the body will actually go into the production of reverse T3. And this is something that is seldom tested by doctors, unfortunately. And I think it should be, because there's so much stress in our society, especially about among women. We don't sleep enough, we overwork, we are mothers and wives and professionals and babysitters all in one at one time. So there's a lot of sustained stress. What happens is that when reverse T3 is abandoned, it's actually going to compete with the active T3 for receptors on the cells. So you're not going to get that active T3. You're going to have fatigued, and you're going to develop hypothyroidism as well. Now, what you want to test is obviously TSH, thyroid stimulating hormones, T3, T4, free T3, free T4. You want to test reverse T3. And then you want to test at least two antibodies. One is called TPO, and one is called thyroglobulin antibody, pardon me. So here's the deal. If you are under a lot of stress, your reverse T3 may spike above 26. That's the level above which it's considered high. And that's what happened to me personally. I had symptoms of some bulging in my throat. I had never experienced it. And knowing what I know, I tested. My iodine was perfectly fine. My nutrients were fine. This was not driven by nutrient depletion. But reverse T3 was high. And if I had gone to a doctor, I would probably have been put on prescription medication. But we wouldn't have found the cause of what was happening to me. So what you want to understand is if your reverse T3 is high, you probably want to work on your adrenals, on your adrenal stress. Take some herbs, adaptogenic herbs, do some labs, do some tests for cortisol, see when it's spiking. You may need B5, you may need vitamin C, you may need more sleep, less work, more relaxation, more massage, more body work, more soaking in the hot tub with Epsom salts. You know, all these lifestyle changes, modifications that are necessary for your body to recover and to bring the thyroid to normal. And that's exactly what I did. It's getting complicated. Now, what happens if you test thyroid once? Here's what you want to know. If you have Hashimoto's, depending on the timing when you test, the markers may be high of thyroid function, the markers may be low, the markers may be okay. However, if you test TPO every time, it's much more real, TPO or and thyroglobulin antibodies. If you have Hashimoto's, these markers will show. So your TSH may be normal, but the TPO will be elevated. Your TSH may be high or low, but your TPO will be elevated. So that brings me to the point. I would say if you've had ever any problems with thyroid, I would retest thyroid every maybe 6 months, including antibodies, to learn the patterns. So you can observe what the body's doing and what the TPO is doing. What happens is that if you do that, you can catch Hashimoto early. And I've seen Hashimoto reverse. I've seen people go into remission. So there's good things that may happen if it's addressed, if it's corrected, you know, if you get the proper help. And sometimes with Hashimoto, the damage is done to a degree when you can't repair, you have to get on medication. But your medication may be both T3 and T4. There's many doctors that use compounded forms of T3, T4 together in different doses just to customize it for your needs depending on your markers. So the problem with the Hashimoto that I see is that you can have flare-ups when it looks like hyperthyroidism, and you can have times, most of the time, it may look like typical hypothyroidism, so low function. And the only way to know that this is Hashimoto's and not hypothyroidism is those antibodies. So don't let the lab, don't let the doctor only test TSH. That's what I see often done. They only test TSH, it's upstream, it's on the very top, so you're looking at the tip of the iceberg and you're ignoring the whole iceberg underneath the water. Basically, there's so many complications and permutations of what's happening with the thyroid, and TSH is not adequate to diagnose anything related to thyroid. I just want you to know. So if TSH is high, and the assumption is that it's low thyroid, you really need to take one more step and say, okay, please test my antibodies and please test my reverse T3. So I'm going to either have Hashimoto's, or maybe my low thyroid is not Hashimoto's, but it's driven by my stress and my adrenal fatigue, for example. So now, interestingly, if you find out that you have Hashimoto indeed. Huh. There's a couple of things that you want to know. First of all, there's 20 years of research pointing to celiac or gluten sensitivity in relationship to thyroid. So what happens is, if you have Hashimoto, you want to do maybe genetic testing for DQ2 or DQ8. These are genes for celiac. It doesn't mean you have celiac, but if you don't have either of these genes, you never develop celiac. You may only develop sensitivity to gluten, but not celiac related. However, I see in clinical practice and I see in clinical research that gluten is a gliadin molecule, looks very similar in structure to thyroid. And therefore, when the immune system is trying to attack gluten or gliadin molecule, it actually mistakes one for the other and damages your thyroid. And that's this typical autoimmune response, is when the immune system gets confused and is attacking self, attacking your own body. In this case, it's thyroid. And what happens is that if we remove gluten, patients recover, feel better pretty remarkably and pretty fast. But it would be nice to test so you know what you have or what you don't have, but it's really closely related. There's some fantastic books on thyroid that you can get. There's some summits, global summits online where you can plug in for free or for a small fee. So there's a lot of awareness about Hashimoto's going on right now in public, so don't feel like you're alone. Go and look and read more. The molecular mimicry between gliadin and thyroid is pretty scary if you have to pay attention to gluten and test it, if that's what came up with a lab, to make sure that gluten is not your problem. Now, there's interesting studies that I want to share with you, and that will be probably the conclusion of this intro. There's more in my paper. There's a couple of other pathogens that mimic, that call the cause the molecular mimicry and cause the attack of the immune system of your thyroid tissue. And interestingly, I came upon bacteria Yersinia enterocolitica, and it has been shown to provoke autoimmune attacks as well. So its surface peptides look like receptors on the thyroid. They're similar enough. So when the immune system goes after Yersinia, it actually will attack your thyroid. And there's a study by Petru that goes all the way back to 1987 that talks about that. Another case is possibility of viruses such as HTLV-1, enterovirus, rubella, mumps, HSV, EBV, and parvovirus. These are mentioned in a study in 2009. So, yes, there's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot of nutrients that you can provide. You have to be very, very careful with iodine supplementation if you have Hashimoto's. So please don't go above 300 micrograms. 150 micrograms of iodine is what, you know, the governmental recommendation is for the minimum. You could do up to 300 possibly without throwing more oil into fire, but if people supplement higher doses of iodine, like iodorol, which is 12.5 milligrams, that can really worsen Hashimoto's. So you don't want to play with that. However, one of the most paramount and safe supplement that is very well studied, actually, for support in Hashimoto's is selenium. And so you can get good quality selenium supplement 200 micrograms a day and see if that can help you a little bit. toxic exposure will be a big problem, so you want to go into organic foods. And basically, a lot more details will be in the document that I'm just finishing up for you. I'm going to post it on my website, but I just wanted you to know that if you suspect the thyroid is not up to speed, get it tested properly. So here's the markers again. TSH, it's always tested. Doctors don't care to test more sometimes. They may test T3 and T4 and that's it. And you need to ask for reverse T3. You need to ask for TPO. And you need to ask for thyroglobulin antibody. And that's the primer for thyroid. Take care of yourself. Ask the right questions. Talk to your doctor. Get it tested properly. We do have functional labs accessible to our patients if for complete panel for the thyroid, just in case our patients' doctors are not willing to test. I know it happens because our doctor was not willing to test my husband's thyroid past TSH. So be well, and I hope this is helpful.